The following is a sermon by Pastor Ralph Abernathy of Mount Olive Lutheran Church, located in Newton, North Carolina.
In the name of Jesus, Amen. Nicodemus said to Jesus, "How can these things be?" Our Lord Jesus Christ taught Nicodemus after Nicodemus had come to him at night. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was learned in the scriptures. He was zealous to uphold the Jewish law. He was a ruler of the Jews, a member of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council. And despite all that which should have made Nicodemus an enemy of Jesus, someone who looked upon him with hostility, Nicodemus came. He came by night, and he said to Jesus, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Now, Nicodemus was somewhat on the right track there. He knew that Jesus was a teacher, was a rabbi, even though he had studied in no rabbinical school. Rather, he was a humble carpenter from Nazareth, of all places. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And he knew that God had sent Jesus. He knew that Jesus had performed miraculous signs, but that is as far as Nicodemus's knowledge of Christ and his faith in Christ went. Because after all, it wasn't so much that God was with Jesus. As we heard back in the Advent season, from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, when the angel appeared to Joseph in a dream after he was troubled by learning of Mary's pregnancy, the angel said to Joseph, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." And then Matthew refers back to Scripture, refers back to the prophet Isaiah, refers back to words written some 7 centuries before. And Matthew says, "All these things took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive, and she shall bear a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel.'" Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us in the human nature of our Lord Jesus Christ. God with us in the holy flesh and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not that God was with Jesus. It's that in Jesus, God is with us, his redeemed and forgiven people. So again, Nicodemus was slightly on course, but he was still a number of degrees off of target. So Jesus began to teach him, and what he taught Nicodemus confounded Nicodemus. He scratched his head. He rolled his eyes. He asked, "How can these things be?" So for today, during the space of this sermon, I would like you to consider yourself as Nicodemus. In fact, that is the way all Christians should approach the teachings of the Holy Scripture. How can these things be? It's beyond us how God, the Lord God, merely by the power of his word, could have created the heavens and the earth, the universe and all of its glory, all of its intricacy, in a mere 6 days. Again, merely by the power of his word. It's beyond us how Moses could hold his staff over the waters of the Red Sea at the command of God. And then the sea parts so that the Israelites can cross in safety. But when their enemies, the Egyptians, try to cross, the waters close back in upon them. It's beyond us how God could become man, conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Things don't happen like that every day. In fact, things like that have happened only once in human history. What else is beyond us? How merely by the application of water combined with the Word of God and applied in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a dead, lifeless, condemned sinner can be born from above, can be washed completely of their sins, can be brought to faith, can be brought out of the devil's family and transferred into the family of the triune God. It's beyond us how in the sacrament of the altar, under this flat little tasteless piece of unleavened bread, and in a small sip of wine, our Lord Jesus Christ can give us his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. Any number of articles of the Christian faith, we could respond as Nicodemus did. How can these things be? But know this, human reason is not sufficient to answer these questions. Human reason is not sufficient to explore the mysteries of these things. Only the Holy Spirit can instruct us. Only the Holy Spirit can bring us to faith that even though we don't understand, these things are nonetheless true because God, who is infinitely wiser than the whole lot of us put together, God, whom you could say has more brains in one pairing of his little fingernail, and I'm speaking figuratively here, than all of mankind, all of the greatest philosophers throughout all history. How can these things be? Because God makes them to be. So Jesus answers Nicodemus, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now the Greek word for again, anothen, can also be translated from above. In the Gospel of St. John, John uses words that can be understood in multiple ways, a multiplicity of ways. It's kind of like looking through a kaleidoscope. The mirrored panes reflect the colored pieces of glass, and as you look and as you turn the kaleidoscope, you see new and brilliant different patterns. And so it is in John's Gospel. How can a man be born when he is old, Nicodemus asks, because he understood Jesus as saying, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus had a basic misunderstanding. Can a man enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? I don't think so, and I don't think any mother would want that to happen. So Nicodemus is confounded. He's confounded by the truth of God. He knows there's something going on here, but he wants to understand, and so he asks questions. Hey, how many of you are familiar with this book, this little pamphlet called The Small Catechism. Have you ever heard of that? Have you studied it? Did you know that catechism comes from a Greek word, katecheo, which means to teach, but it means to teach by echoing back? So in the catechism, questions are asked of the catechumens, and the answer is provided. So what Jesus is doing in today's gospel reading is catechizing Nicodemus. Jesus says something. Nicodemus doesn't understand. Nicodemus asks questions, and Jesus doesn't slap him down and say, "You stupid. You should know these things." Rather, Jesus patiently begins to teach him. Now, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was learned in the Hebrew scriptures. He was considered a Bible scholar, if you would, someone who had all the answers. And yet he needed to learn. He needed to be taught by Jesus' words. He needed to be taught by the Holy Spirit, alive and active through the words of Christ. He recognized that fact. He recognized that he did not know everything. So what about you? What about me? Do we know it all? Or do we too need to continue to be taught, to continue to hear and learn the Word of God, to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest it? Should we have the attitude of Martin Luther, who said that every day he became as a child and studied again the catechism, the six chief parts of the Christian faith, because even though he was a doctor of theology, he did not know it all. Neither do you, neither do I. So be a Nicodemus. Ask questions of the scriptures. Ask your pastor. Ask your Sunday school teacher. And go to the scriptures yourself and read of them and learn from them. So how can a man enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Water and of Spirit. What could that be referring to? Because in the Greek construction, water and spirit go together. Jesus doesn't say, unless one is born of the water and born of the Spirit. No, this is one action. This is one birth, the birth of water and the Spirit. In Bible class Wednesday night, as we were discussing this, Peggy said, baptism, holy baptism. And indeed, that is what this is referring to. You know, we do not, as Lutherans, as heirs of the traditions of the Western Catholic Church, indeed the Universal Catholic Church, we do not baptize babies just because it looks cute. We do not baptize them for a family event when pictures can be made and, oh, isn't it lovely? Oh, sweet. We baptize babies because they are conceived and born in sin. Their first birth from their mother's womb is not sufficient for anything except to condemn them to hell as an heir of Adam's sin and guilt. We have the promise here, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, or as it says elsewhere in Scripture, of water and the Word, or the washing of rebirth through renewal by the Holy Spirit, one cannot enter the kingdom of God. It says nothing about a decision that you or I have to make. In holy baptism, God is at work. God chooses, God washes, God claims the baptized child or adult as his own. And that person is adopted into God's eternal family forever. Jesus goes on to show the insufficiency of human birth by saying, that which is born of the flesh, the stuff we wear on our bones, is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. To be born of water and the Spirit is to be made alive spiritually. It's to be united to Christ Jesus, who suffered and died for you. And do not marvel, Jesus says, that I said to you, you must be born again, / born from above. Hey, Nicodemus, you see the trees moving when the wind is blowing? Well, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where the wind comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. God's Spirit works through the means of grace to accomplish His saving purposes. We may not understand that, but God has bound you and me to His holy word, to the sacraments of baptism and Holy Communion, to the preaching of the gospel, and where these things are present as Christ instituted them, there the Holy Spirit is doing His work. And so again, it's beyond Nicodemus. How can these things be? And here Jesus does get a little sarcastic, but it's a loving sarcasm. Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? You who are learned in the Scripture? Truly, truly, I say to you, Nicodemus, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony, the you there being plural. But what about that we? We speak, Jesus says. We bear witness to what we have seen. There you have a reference to the Holy Trinity. The Father bears witness to Jesus. Our Lord says later on in the Gospel of St. John, He says of the Holy Spirit, in St. John's Gospel, in the final discourse, when He comes, He will bear witness to me. You see, there is this testimony that Jesus is God in the flesh, that He is the Son of God, that He is the Savior of the world. And the Father and the Holy Spirit give testimony to Jesus. And the Holy Scriptures give testimony to Jesus. And the church, as the heir of the apostles and the prophets, as the keeper of the Holy Scriptures, likewise bears testimony that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of all the world, of your sin. And you, brought to faith in that, confessing that, trusting not in yourself, not in your own righteousness, which is as filthy rags, you too bear witness to Jesus. You did so this morning when you said amen to our invocation. You did so this morning as you confessed the creed. You did so this morning as you sang the hymns. You do so this morning as you come to receive Christ's body and blood offered up on the cross for the sins of the world and yet given to you in the bread and wine. And Jesus Himself speaks the words to you, take, eat, this is my body given for you. Take, drink, this is my blood shed for the forgiveness of your sins. Jesus then makes reference to an episode in the book of Numbers when the children of Israel continued to rebel against God and they crossed a line. They were complaining about the manna from heaven. They wanted leeks and garlic and melons from Egypt. They tested God time and time again, and so the Lord God sent a plague of fiery serpents upon the people because they doubted His word, as you and I sometimes do. We deserve God's condemnation. Do not forget that fact. We are not the good Christian people. We pat ourselves on the back for being. We are sinners redeemed by grace, saved through faith in Christ. And so Jesus reminds Nicodemus of this event in the book of Numbers. The Lord God ordered Moses to fashion a serpent made of bronze and to erect it on a high pole. Kind of like that cross back there behind the altar, maybe. And instruct the children of Israel that if they had been bitten, they were to look at that serpent. And the poison that entered their body at the serpent's bite would be rendered ineffective, and they would be healed, and they would be saved. So as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up on the cross, that whoever believes in Him may have eternal life. It took faith to believe God's word for the children of Israel. Faith that if I look upon this serpent on a pole, I will be saved. My life will be preserved. How can these things be? How can merely looking at a replica of a serpent save someone from death by snake bite? How can these things be? Because it happened according to God's command, according to God's will, according to God's word. And then we have it, the verse we could all say by heart, and we've spoken of confessing the faith here today. Let's do it now together. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is how much God loved you, a sinner. He did not desire your condemnation, nor my condemnation, which we both deserved. This is the way He loved you, that He sent His Son in human flesh, in a body like yours, with organs that worked like yours, with a brain that worked like yours. Yet He was without sin. He was perfect. He was rightly deathless. And God sent His Son to the cross to bear away in His own flesh the sins of the world. And the gospel of Christ crucified is preached so people can believe in Him and not perish eternally. We baptize according to our Lord's command so little babies can believe in Him and not perish eternally. This gospel is proclaimed to you. It is for you, so you can believe and not perish eternally. That's why we have the divine service. That's why we have the sacrament of the altar. Luther says, why do you want to come to this sacrament? And the answer is, well, so I can learn to believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord and love Him and so that I can learn to love my neighbor as myself. Because here's the good news. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, just as he did not condemn Nicodemus for his questions. God sent his Son into the world that the world might be saved through him. Let's put it this way. Lewis, God sent his Son into the world so that you would be saved through faith in him. Bill, God sent his Son into the world so that you and Randy would be saved through faith in him. David, God sent his Son into the world so that you would be saved through faith in him. Elaine, God sent his Son into the world so that you would be saved through faith in him. Crystal, you know it by now. God sent his Son into the world so that you would be saved through faith in him. And it worked for Nicodemus. Later on in the Gospel of John, Nicodemus speaks up in defense of Jesus. And there at the end of the Gospel of St. John, Nicodemus helps remove Jesus' body from the cross and prepare that body for burial. See, these things can be. Sinners can be brought to faith. Those born dead in trespass and sin can be brought to new life and are. Because when God is at work, when God sends forth his word, things are accomplished according to God's will and God's gracious, loving purposes for you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. It's all for you. And it not merely can be, it surely is. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus your Lord. Amen.